Blog Talk Radio.
For the mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Crossroad broadcast. Yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We are so honored to have you once again on this broadcast. We are professional Christian counselors. We specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse, and neglect. We would like to take this opportunity to introduce to you our panelists on this broadcast, which is a Crossroad broadcast, and they are as following: Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. June Normill, and Dr. Gloria Castor, and of course, Dr. Mary McCoy. We are getting ready to go before the throne of grace, but we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, and tell them that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. And today's topic is going to be family problems. We had an awesome time last week. God gave us great insight as to the problems that family experience. We talked about the Bible and family problems, and then we went to the cause of family problems and the effects of family problems. And also today we're going to talk about preventing family problems. And just in case you didn't get a chance to hear about and remember the cause of family problems, we want you to, even all the things that we have talked about on last week, you can see why there are problems in the family. So let's go before the Most High God, that God can inspire us, that God can give us illumination through His Word, that we can know our purpose as being a family and how we can live together and how we can get along. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done. And God, all God that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that that word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Today, God, here on Crossroad Broadcast, once again, you have given us an opportunity, God, to come before your people. God, that we can speak, God, what the Bible says about the family problem. God, that we can touch areas that's going to cause the people, God, to be made better. God, that more families will be loving and more caring about one another. Lord, even as we speak today, Lord, bless those, God, that from city to city, state to state, Father, those in neighborhoods, God, that have been struggles in their lives, in their family, Lord God. Father, we ask you, God, to do it even now. God, from the rich to the poor, God, black and white, red and yellow, God, whatever the need may be, we pray, God, that you will have your way today. And this we thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Once again, we would like to welcome Dr. June Normill, Dr. Gloria Castor to this broadcast. And we thank God for the women of God that God has called at such a time as this. Last week, we just want to recap a little bit. We want to recap where we stopped and where we began. Actually, we began to talk about the Bible and family problems. And any time we talk about the Bible, we know that we're going to get some truth. We're going to get truth from the Word of God. But the Word of God said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So we want to be able to relate to the struggles that the men and women had in the Bible. It's there for our learning. It's there for our understanding. So when we began to look and recap from last week, we talked about this young girl And this young lady was 16 years old, and she was celebrating an awesome time in her life. She was celebrating her 16th birthday. But then, as we stated, the thing about this birthday was when it's supposed to be happy and merry, full of joy, nobody gave her a party. Her mother gave her a present, as we stated, but she didn't get a birthday party. She didn't get it because we found out that the mother, she was very particular. She didn't want her house to be disrupted. She didn't want the teens to come in and mess up what she probably had already cleaned up or that she had it beautified. And sometimes we, as parents, we could miss it because some of the important landmarks in our children's lives, we miss it. And we cause the child to, even in their later years, to remember that I never did celebrate my 16th birthday because my mother didn't, my father, whoever they be, didn't actually want to celebrate it because they thought that this would cause disruption to the home. And then we see that it's sometimes, you know, when children make messes and they do things, you know, it's really easy to be able to be dealt with because it's easy to clean up. Yes, it may be a lot before your eyes, but just remembering the joy on that child's face, whether it's a male or a female, just remembering that smile, it's worth everything that you do in order to make that day special for your child. We talked about Chris. Chris' father, he was always away from home. He did call to wish her a happy birthday. His job always taking him away from spending time with the family. He did, as I said, it wasn't this family was having some family issues, some family problem. He was never there. Somebody out there can identify with you have a father in the home, or you may have a mother in the home, but it seems like they're never there. And there are different reasons why they're never there, especially when you know that you have a loving father, a loving mother, and they're trying to make the best in life, trying to provide, you know, for you, for the family. There's some things you can overlook, some things that you can excuse. But then when we start looking at the reason why she didn't have a party, because of the fact that they was afraid of the mess that was in the home, or things being unraveled, or things of being not in the right place, they decided not to do so. So here we talk about Chris, but then we want to look in because it's more than Chris in the family. It was Cherry, who was 12 years old. He said she didn't even like her family. She tried to stay away from home as much as possible. Could you imagine a 12-year-old not wanting to be around the family, not wanting to enjoy the comforts of a home, not wanting to have a big relationship with their family? Well, this did happen. And then they had a third family member who was also a daughter. Cindy was another sister that was in the family, and Cindy happened to be, as we stated, she was 23 years old, but she was not in the mood for a birthday party. Sometimes we let things in our lives, we let circumstances dictate to us how we're going to treat other people or our concern about one another. So Cindy, she was in a rocky relationship. She was her mentality, her attitude because of things she had gone through, she was miserable. And she had recently, as we said before, this person was, had recently divorced her husband. Her husband was one that abused her, beat her. And so, therefore, she had a lot before her. But we just want to say to you today, many times all of us go through things in our lives. But we all want to make things better for somebody else, no matter what we're going through. You know, sometimes it just takes a smile. Sometimes it just takes a hug. Somebody just needs to know that even though you may be struggling, that yes, is there. There is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is joy, that God can restore that joy that you have. No matter what you have gone through in your life, God can restore that. And then it tells us about her family, Chris' family. They all claim to be Christian. They went to church on Sunday. Two or three of them, they did go to church, but they didn't go at the same time. Even when they was in church, they all would sit in separate places. That let us know that, you know, they isolate each other. They had an issue with one another. They didn't have that love that they should have had with one another. Chris' family, everybody, you know, even they just left under the same roof most of the time. But yet, they was like, instead of being dependent, they had that independent type attitude that they could make it themselves, I can do it myself. And, you know, that can be very dangerous, and that can be something that it needs to be addressed and looked after, because you don't want to come up in a mentality of your mind where that I can make it without somebody in my family. And a lot of us, you know, sometimes you feel that, you know, I can do this and I can do that, but, you know, that can be also dangerous. You ought to always know that there is a family member that cares, a family member that needs help, and you may need help. Most times, all of us need help at one time or another in our family. So we need to keep that in mind. Religion in their family was never really kind of talked about it and discussed it. And that's something that in every family, somebody ought to be able to be strong enough to be able to talk about the Word of God. Don't you know it will make a change in your life? It would make a person smile. It will make a person that's sad, it will make them be filled with joy. And then we found out that Chris' father, how we talked about how dominant the mother was and how she wanted things to always go her way. And then it tells her it may have even accounted to why the father was always away from home. That's really, really something to think about when a husband don't want to come home to his wife. I don't want to come home to his children. And so we all need to examine ourselves. And if there's someone out there today that are going through issues in their family, you ought to be able to examine it, you know, and to see what can you do in order to make things better in your family. Every family at some time or another want to be able to eat together. You know, a lot of conversation starts, you know, can start at the table. And then you can feel that closeness. You can be able to relate with one another. But in the day that we live, many times in 2012, we find that many families, they don't share that warmth of energy and belonging and being one mind together. So that closeness, they want to eat in separate rooms. Somebody in the TV looking at the television in one room, and another person is in another room, or they got their plate, they're looking at a sports, somebody looking at something else. But we must learn in order to communicate, to be able to get along with one another. So here, when we look at Chris' mother, by her being manipulative as she was, trying to manipulate the family, sometimes that can and will bring problems. When we began to look at family problems consist of fear. It can be some of the things as fear. I'm not saying that's going on in your family, but sometimes there's fear, there's anxiety, sometimes people are worrying that they alienating each other. They don't want to be with each other. There's a separation. And when you're worrying, you know how you can feel unease or you're more concerned about whatever the problem may be, things that you're going through. Sometimes you feel like you've been tormented, when you know, tormented even your own self. You're suffering, you've been disturbed, you feel it's your mind is really not at peace. And then sometimes family go through heated times in their family, which when we can look at that and recognize that as being strife. They have these heated conversations. They are bitter with one another. There are struggles in the family. What could it be that would cause a family, a person to feel so much strife? They're struggling about one thing or another. There's sometimes a fight. They're quarreling. There's a contention in the family. Sometimes it can be contention. Sometimes it could be people competing for rivalry, whatever reason it may be. And then we also mentioned that fear. Fear is a disturbing emotion that arises within us. And it's like when a person, they have a fear of danger, and when there's evil, when there's a person going through pain, a lot of things that, whether it's real or not, that causes fear within the family. You know, sometimes when you have an unhappy family, all those things arouse, all the things that you pretty much, that goes on in the family. So you also dealing with anxiety and all of those things, when you feel at unease and there is apprehension at the same time, you don't know what the future will bring. But I do want to let you know that you can have a healthy relationship. You know, we talk about Adam, talk about Eve, the things that happened in their family. All of this is in the Word. You know, how their son, you know, how they Cain killed Abel. That's problems in the family. Talk about David and the struggles that they had with his son, you know, and how one son had even raped the other, her sister. And then it was so much going on there. But, you know, we have to know that the family can be normal. The family can be healed. The family can go through a regular, healthy relationship. So let me kind of just leave this with you. What is a healthy family? A healthy family is one that communicates and listens. It's time that we listen to one another. It's one that affirms and supports one another. It teaches respect for others. And we've gone so far from having respect one for another. It should be where a healthy family is developing a sense of trust. It has a sense of play and humor. You know, it'll always be some where you can play and with one another, and whether you're adult or not. There can be some humor in that family. It ought to be some laughter in the family. So, but many times it's not because there's distrust and there is no support for one another. A healthy family should exhibit a sense of shared responsibility. And it also teaches a sense of right and wrong. I'm talking about a healthy family. It has a strong sense of a family in which rituals and traditions abound, things that you do together, things you do from year to year, or day to day, or month to month, things that you share together. It should be helping families balance of interaction among the members. It's a shared religious core. It's respect the privacy of one another. And I'm telling you, sometimes it could bring a lot of problems when we don't respect the privacy of one another. I'm not talking about the privacy of a child with his mother or his father, because some things that when you're a certain age, your parents ought to be able to know what's going on. It should not have such a privacy or room that your parents can't go in and see what's going on in that room. It should have values. The values should be high. The family values should that you have towards one another, things that you value. You should foster family table time and conversation, and also shared leisure time, and to admit to seek help when there is a problem. So we want not to be in the place where Abraham and his family were when his wife Sarah had conflict with the maid, with the servant. That was something that you ought to think about. That it doesn't always have to be conflict. When we don't do it the right way, it will be conflict. So here today, just think about some of the things that we said on our last week discussion about family problems. We tried to introduce to you some of the things about the Bible and family problems. But at this time, we're going to go and we're going to take the next 15 minutes. And we're going to talk about the effects of family problems. And we're going to welcome Dr. June Normale to the Crossroads Podcast. Dr. June Normale.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it, giving God the honor for being able to be before you again this week, Radio Land. Also to the panel and to you, Dr. McCoy, God bless you. Today I'm going to be talking about the conclusions about family problems, And throughout our previous teachings on family problems, we talked about everything starting from the Bible of family problems, the causes of family problems, the effects of family problems, counseling problems, and to preventing the family problems. Now I'm going to be talking about the conclusion about family problems. Through my life experience and working in the field of mental health and being a professional certified licensed Christian counselor, I can attest to you that, you know, there are no quick fixes to solving a family problem except through the divine work of God. That's the only way you're going to have a quick fix through family problems. And we know that there are not perfect families, as our previous teaching has been going before us the past weeks. We know that there is no perfect family. I don't care who it is. No family that is perfect, even though you may not know about what's going on behind closed doors. And it may seem to be that everything is perfect, but there's not a perfect family. And I'm going to tell you some of the areas of families who experience family problems, to let you know that you are not alone. You know, because sometimes we go through certain things, we think we're the only one going through it, but I'm letting you know that you're not alone. I'm going to give you some families that go through things. You have military families, families of the mentally ill, families of professional counselors, as myself, minister families, because sometimes people think, you know, because when a person is in the clergy arena, they don't have problems, but even ministers' families have problems. families of famous people, they have problems. Sometimes we look at those people and people look at television stars or icons, they idolize people, and you think they got a perfect life because you just see what's being portrayed on television. But they have problems also. Families of professional athletes, they have problems. Homeless families, the families of alcoholics, families with the young children, family with the terminally ill, prisoner families, or families of AIDS victims are among those who have unique needs and stresses that may require special counseling expertise. So all these areas and different arenas of families, they all experience problems. And with all the problems being going forth, even though myself and the other panelists, they are Christian, we are Christian counselors, but no one of us, not either one of us, can be familiar with all these groups of people. And they got so many different areas I just read to you. None of us is so, you know, expertise in that area that we're familiar with all these groups. So, but all of us, as being Christian counselors, what we do, we can listen, however, to each of everybody who comes for counseling, learn from families as each work with them. The, our goal is to be available every time they come for counseling, is to be available to listen and to be used by God, you know, to touch our lives and to touch the lives of people so we could be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that will guide us and give us as we seek to bring healing into the families who need help. That's what we do as being Christian counselors, have our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has given us as we give you hope and be directed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But in spite of all our expertise, all our knowledge, all our being led by the Holy Spirit and everything, and our best effort that we give, somehow some families still break up. You know, some marriages, you know, still people get divorced and people still have problems. And you may not understand that going through that problem. And you might say, what happened? I don't understand what's going on. Why that happened? And we're not magicians. You know, only God knows everything and can cause everything to go in order that he has directed it to go. But even though you may not understand, you know, the problem that you're in, it may not be solved, you know. But I'm just here to encourage you, to let you know that even though you might not understand the results that you have, you might not even like the results, I just want you to believe, and like I believe, Romans 28, to give you hope and say, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, and to them which are called according to his purpose. We may not understand everything, what's going on. And like I said, we may not even like it, but we have to just know within our knower that everything is working together for our good. And even at the final answer to the situation, to that problem, it may be a bad result. But God is just so good, and he is so caring and so loving, and he is in the midst of your situation, that even in 2 Corinthians 12:9 say, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Even though we might not, and you might not like the situation where how it turned out to be, God will give you the grace to endure it. He will give you the grace to let you know that you can stand and you will stand, even though we may not like the results. But we know that it worked together for our good. And me being a Christian counselor, I will recommend, in the natural sense, but also I recommend first and foremost to get Christian counseling. I recommend anybody first and foremost to get Christian counseling, because what Christian counseling, what we do as Christian counselors, we give it based on the Bible-based principles, based on the Bible. And we also, even Christian counseling, we call it Bible therapy, because we use the scripture for our counseling. As though you might go into a secular counselor, they're going to give you anything. If they cannot give you the word, they can give you anything based on what they feel, what they think. But we know the word of God is truth. And being a Christian counselor, we're going to give you the Bible-based principle and the Bible scripture for use for every area in your life. And the Bible is impact with anything and everything that ails us. Any problem in our life, the Bible has the answer, and we will be dealing from the Bible's Christian counselor. And even I also recommend, even in to get to the physical part of the need of a family problem, I would recommend also for professional treatment. And this might even, you have to go outside of the spiritual arena as far as being Christian, but I do recommend you go to a professional treatment. And I believe in God, even than that, God have orchestrated for you to be connected with Christians, employees, therapists, doctors, anybody that need to be where they need to be concerned your problem. Like I'm saying, it's not that everything you have to do when it comes to counseling, I'm not recommending just saying you just have to be a Christian therapist, a Christianette. But I'm just saying, but I recommend highly Christian counseling. And from that part, when you have to go into treatment, I recommend, you know, a rehabilitation center, you know, for people need to be rehabilitated once they, you know, in recovery for alcohol, substance abuse, drugs, even when counseling and therapy, talk therapy as far as treatment for you need restoration and the mental aspect for emotional problems as for or either trauma has carried occurred in your life. I recommend that also. So like I said from the beginning, there's no quick fix for family problems. But we started off with the family problems from the Bible, telling you the Bible, what the Bible had to say about family problems. And my study and being led by Holy Spirit and me concluding, and my conclusion about family problems, I'm going to leave it from the Bible because we know, like, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If the Bible started with something, it's going to end with something. And God had given me to give to you, you know, to encourage you, to give you hope, you know, about family problems. And the conclusion about family problems, I leave you with this scripture, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. God's going to bring it into light. God's going to judge that. So what that scripture is saying, out of all the family problems, wherever that seed was planted, whatever the problem in the situation, whether it be from a mother, a father, a child, an adolescent, wherever that seed of the problem was able to start was planted, and it grows and develops until it became a big family problem, whether it's solved or not got solved, God will judge. There's nothing to see it from God. That's the conclusion of the man, or the whole matter. Is we just fear God and keep his commandment, and God will judge that thing, that seed that was planted. It will be judged by God. So that means nobody's getting away with anything. That's the conclusion of the matter. So I'm going to give you three important truths about that scripture, three important truths about that scripture. Number one, the whole duty of man is to fear God. And we live our life in fearing God. That will cut down and stop and prevent a lot of family problems from not even happening. And what I mean about that, I'm not talking about being fearful of God is that we so scared of something like a spooky thing, or we so fearful of him, and then we just so terrified of him. No, I mean if we just reverence God and the Word of God for who he is and what the Word of God says. That is one antidote that will cause family problems to be under our feet. A lot of times we don't fear God and we take his word for granted, and that causes problems to be avoided. And number two, it says, to keep his commandments. If we follow the commandments of God, that's another thing that will cause our families to be more healthier, and that we could be avoiding more family problems that a lot of times we encounter. And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is good. You can do that, but it got so many commandments that God tells us what to do and what not to do. The Word of God, just being obedient to the Word of God. And to be able to be obedient to the Word of God, you got to know the Word of God. So that means, you know, you got to read your Bible. You need to get affiliated with a Bible-teaching church. All compromising gospel is going to cause sin, sin, cause light, light, cause dark, dark. You need that and be able to keep God's commandments and follow them the best that you can. And number three, to prepare for eternity. In view of the fact that every work of man will be brought into judgment. That means everything that we do, we keep that in mind, that everything we do, God will judge that. And that won't cause and that will cause people fearing God and keeping his commandment and knowing that everything we do, everything we say will be judged by God. We won't be so quick to be able to do a lot of things that cause family problems. And even when we do, by being godly people and Christian, everything, what we do is we repent of that thing, and God will forgive us. But I have to say it in a way that I'm not speaking all just to Christians, but the word of God is for everybody, Christian and non-Christian. And if you're not a Christian, it's time to become a Christian, because even though you're not a Christian, you're just not exempt, you know what I mean, for being judged for what we do right or wrong. And even being a Christian, we're not exempt for not being judged for what we do right or wrong. It go all the way. God is a just God. And they say, even in the secret things to be do, whether it be good or bad, nothing is hid. Whether we do the good things or bad things, seeds planted that cause family problems. Just like we do things, plant seeds, good things that cause a family to be healthy, and that causes less family problems. Not saying there won't be any family problems, but even in the midst of it being a family problem, you'll be able to cope with it. You'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to endure it. Not saying you won't feel sad and you may be mad, disappointed. It could be human. We have those attributes of that, just human nature. But I'm talking about the real, the spirit man that is within us, being controlled and led by the Holy Spirit, will give us that grace to go through that situation. And even though the problem, even maybe the marriage might have broke up, even though you did pray, you fast, you know what I mean, you seek God's faith, and even though the marriage did break up, the child of a steer became wavering. I'm telling you, the grace of God is so good, God will give you the grace to be able to endure that. Even though you don't understand it, you will be able to endure that. You'll be able to accept that. God will give you the grace to accept that in due time. I mean, everybody's time is different. God will reach each and every one of us right where we are. Right where we are. I mean, what he do for me, according to my faith, is something totally different for you. But God is no respecter of anybody. God loves us all. And I tell you, even the sinner person, the person who, if you're listening, you haven't even accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, God loves you. He's still concerned about you in that situation, but he wants you to become his child. And then by you being even his child, he'll be able to even just, you'll be able to understand more when you get into the word of God about things and family problems, to be able to cope more about family problems. So I just say that if you just embrace this scripture, Ecclesiastes 12:13, that's the conclusion of the matter. I mean, I can say no more. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, and the matter, which is family problems. Just embrace Ecclesiastes 12:13. I'm going to repeat it one more time. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad or evil. That's the conclusion of the matter. And I pray that something that I've said, and the speaker before me, Dr. McCormick, said, and all the panelists have said before, you have heard through this teaching, that you would grab a hold of it and you would apply it to your life and just let go and let God, because we're giving you things from the Holy Spirit that's leading us to give you, also from the word of God, because we're on your side, because we're all on the Lord's side. We want you to win. So God bless you. Until we meet again, remember, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and you choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We want to thank the Lord for that discussion about the conclusion about family problems. And one thing that we thank God, because you see and you heard the conclusion, but we want to be able to let you know, even before then, that we want you to be able to know and discuss the prevention of family problems. And we want to go to Dr. Gloria Pastor, and she's going to come to us, and she's going to tell us about preventing family problems. Dr. Gloria Pastor, welcome to the Crossroads Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to the radio audience and to the panel. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you today. Last week when I was on, I spoke a little bit about the dysfunction family and gave you a few of the dysfunction family in the Bible, Old and New Testament. But I want to go a little bit further than that today, and I want to talk about, we really look at Bill Cosby, who was, I mean, everyone saw that family as a perfect family. I mean, it seemed like, you know, it was just a family, a model family that everyone would want to be like. Bill Cosby, who was who was and still is a professional entertainer. He had a doctorate degree in education, impressive, successful as a comedian, and best-selling author. When his book on fatherhood appeared, thousands of people hurried to the bookstores to buy it because they saw what the family was like. And they kind of wanted to, that was, in a sense, something that they could use to kind of pattern their family by. Perhaps many for this was the first book that they had purchased in years. And it's hilarious, a book that it's easy to read, but interspersed with an anecdote and are some general guidelines for being an effective parent. Professionals who write books on family often give more direct guidelines for preventing problems. Charles Sell wrote a book on about the usefulness of church-sponsored seminars and family life conferences, teaching about the family in Sunday school classes and sermons, training customers and couples in marriage enrichment and parenting skills, simulating family devotion, encouraging regular family nights, especially in homes where there are young children, initiating programs of family counseling and are developing family clusters in which several families meet together periodically to encourage each other and share their concerns. So it's really important. It's a really important task for families to come together and share together. And I see where the society is today. They text. You can call them on the phone and they won't answer the call. They'll text you back. And I have a problem with that. I mean, it's good. I'm not saying anything against texting, but how does it build communication? How can you build communication when you don't verbally talk or physically talk with each other and you constantly texting? Many people, however, avoid some kind of problems, those kind of problems, since most are centered in local churches. Non-attendance may miss opportunities for training and family enrichment that comes through local congregations. So one of the things, like I said, I touched a little bit on the dysfunctional family, but I want to hit a little bit on counseling. How important, how can you prevent family problems? And many times, like I said, they went out and they bought Bill Cosby's books or they read through different books. But a touch and physically sitting in front of someone to kind of get a feel and look at them and feel where they're coming from and they can feel where you're coming from. And family therapy is based on the benefit that the family is a unique social system with its own structure and patterns of communication. These patterns are determined by many factors, including the parents' belief and values, the personality of all family members, and the influence of the extended family, which is the grandparents, uncles, and aunts. As a result, these variables, each family develops its own unique way of how they can come together and build as a family. Based on family therapy, working with a therapist to solve problems can take a place on an individual basis or in group settings, which involves all members of the family seeing a therapist. Family therapist is most important and used to help treat an individual problem that is affecting the entire family, such as addiction, depression or behavior problems. This type of counseling can also be used for addressing family-wide problems such as conflict between siblings, spouses, or parents and children. Family therapy, when to get to family counseling, family therapist is a particular approach of a psychotherapy. Instead of addressing problems on an individual basis, family counseling recognizes that the problem impacts a number of people rather than one person, and so the solution should involve all family members. Family therapists say there are a number of people who are impacted by problems, so everyone should work together and support the individual who have the problem. Family, to really come together and to really understand what we need to do to build as a family, to prevent family problems, what can we expect with a family therapist? In family therapy, the therapist usually meets with the individual family as well as the other family member. The younger children are the more the family is the focus of treatment. After a meeting or two, the therapist can usually determine which treatment therapy will work best. For example, the therapist may meet with a teen who has a drinking problem and then invite an older sibling who may have gone through his own problems with drinking and marijuana to sessions. The older siblings might offer guidance, which might be more powerful than a therapist's words. So on a Friday night when the teen may be surrounded by bad influences and temptation, the sibling can step in and intervene. And then the therapist may be able to see what gets the child into the next circumstances as well. A therapist may have many treatment approaches at his or her disposal. In this day and age, combinations of therapists may be used. That means who has a problem with, says alcohol, it may work for an organization such as Alcoholics Anonymous, receive family therapists, and also have individual sessions. It is important that we as a family can build and can bring ourselves together as a family, because family unit is what God had put together in the very beginning when he put Adam and Eve together. That's the first institution that God gave. Now, whenever you go through different problems, learn how to put scriptures in place, because what God's word is truly what he said he will do, he will do. And Proverbs 3:5-6 is a good one. Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Lean not toward thine own understanding. In all of thy ways, if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. You got to kind of get those scriptures in your heart and begin to trust God 100%. Not 99, 100%, because in the world today, he's the only solution. He's the solution and all that we need to carry us through whatever we're going through. And as I conclude, the answers to some of the things that bring family problems is distrust, communication problems, lying, manipulation of one partner by the others. I believe that upbringing plays a significant part in family problems. So in my day, families used to meet together. Now you're all separated. Find time to come together and meet together at least once or twice a week. That way you can share with your children, they can share with you. Try to build communication. Later, I have seen situations where a child has been spoiled rotten, always getting its own way, and later the child disrespects his parents. Raise them up the right way, because in the long run, they might embarrass you. It's like growing a potato plant. As it grows, it needs to be trained against a stick. No, I'm not advocating corporal punishment. It then grows tall and straight. If it's not trained, later when you try to straighten it, it will break. So train up the child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not stray away from it. They will come back to it. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Pastor. We thank God for the panelists. We thank God for the Christian counselors that have yielded themselves to God. They have given their lives for the gospel in being able to be used as a vessel of God's glory and for His honor. And all of this that we are saying to you today, yes, from time to time, we have gone into different topics. We did talk about premarital counseling. We talked about marriage counseling. And yes, we talked about anger and rage, abuse and neglect. We talked about family issues, things that are happening in the family, such as what we're talking about today. Why? Because it is needful. Why? Because God wants His people to be able to live together in unity and to have that healthy family. If you are struggling today and you're going through some things in your life and you know that it can be better and you want God to make it better in your life, we're going to ask Dr. Gloria Castor to come, and we're going to ask her to pray for you today. Some, wherever you may be, what city? Are you in Chicago, Texas, Tampa, Florida, New York City? Wherever you may be, if you're going through some struggles in an unhappy, unhealthy family, we're going to ask the woman of God to pray for you today that Christ will intervene in your life. Dr. Gloria Castor.
Eternal and Holy Father, the one in whom we live, move, and have our being, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And we come, Father, with this radio line today. We know that there is no distance in you. So we pray that everything that is said and everything that is prayed will go throughout these lines and it will touch those. If there's a problem with family, if there's a financial problem, if there's a problem with what addiction, whatever the need might be, we lift it up to you today, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you touch those who are going through situations, and they might be overwhelmed today, but, Father, we know beyond a shadow of any doubt that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. We pray for the strength of them as they go through today. We pray for the salvation of everyone that's on this line that is not saved today. And we repeat today, Father, we ask, Father, if there's anyone that's unsaved, we give Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe within your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the mouth we believe it unto salvation, with the heart we believe it unto salvation, with the mouth we confess. And we ask right now, if there's anybody on this line that's unsaved today, that they will accept Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior, because he's the only answer for today. There is no other answer. We ask that you be blessed. We ask that everyone on this line today will realize the fact that God is our source, our resource. He's our strength. Everything that we need is in him. We ask that you continually bless those that are on the panel today, that you can continually give us the wisdom and knowledge that we need, that we can bring forth and share it, that lives will be changed and that things will be set in order. We ask now that you use us mightily, and we pray for everyone on this radio line today that you continually bless them and that they will tell someone else about the good news and the stories that are happening on this line today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We would like to thank all of you for tuning once again to the Crossroads broadcast. We want you to know that we are praying for you and that there is hope and that God has an answer for whatever you may be experiencing in life. This is Dr. Mary McCoy and the Crossroads panel. Bidding you Godspeed, and may the blessings of God be with you now and forever.